As DG Azevedo gets back to his other meetings, I'm going to have Emmanuel, author of the publication, provide an overview for you all. I would like also to personally thank Emmanuel. I'm looking at the panelists who are waiting to come up here, and she's worked very hard to put together such an excellent group of experts that I think at least I expect a great conversation this afternoon and an ability to give you some very good insights coming out of this, Roberto.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Emmanuel?
Leave you guys alone.
Thank you. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Bob. So let me start by thanking all those who actually made this publication possible, my colleagues, and in particular my colleague Ken Zalmentek, who actually introduced me to this topic and guided me along the way. Other colleagues who reviewed the report and provided useful comments, and of course all the blockchain experts who took the time to talk to me and to share their insights. Some of them are in this room today, and so I'm very pleased to see them here. So why this publication? Well, when I discovered the world of blockchain some 15 months ago, I rapidly realized that this technology could have a major impact on international trade, and I realized how quickly things were changing, especially in the private sector. Is there a hype? Yes, of course, there is a hype. Is it a panacea? No, but the technology does present very interesting features, and I think it's very important for trade officials and regulators to keep an eye on what's going on. And I also realized that very few in the trade community actually understood the technology and understood the potential that it could have. So I decided to work on a publication to try and build a bridge between the blockchain community and the trade community. So I've tried to write something that would be simple enough for non-blockchain experts to understand, but nevertheless substantive enough to give some food for thought and to inform the debate, as the DG said. Two things before I start presenting my publication. First, I use the term blockchain in its generic sense to refer to distributed ledger technology, but strictly speaking, it's true that blockchain is only one type of distributed ledger technology, but it's very often used in its generic term because it's simple and catchy. And second, this publication, and I want to make that clear, is about blockchain and not cryptocurrencies. And this workshop is also about blockchain and not cryptocurrencies. So if you came here to learn a lot about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, I'm afraid you're wasting your time. But if you came here thinking that you would learn about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, please stay. And I hope that by the end of the day, you'll have understood that blockchain is actually much more than Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. So without further ado, let me go to the publication itself. And I see that time is also passing. So this publication is structured with three main substantive chapters. In the first substantive chapter, I basically try to give a simple explanation of what blockchain is, what the key, well, sorry, I have to put that in the different words, that will be easier, what blockchain is all about, and give a brief history of the technology. Since I'll be talking about blockchain, and I'm not sure all of you are familiar with what it is, I just want to give a very simple explanation. We'll dive deeper into the definition of blockchain with Enrico in session one. But in a few words, blockchain is a digital technology. It is decentralized, meaning there's no central entity. It relies on a peer-to-peer network. It is distributed. The records are shared among all participants. It's a technology that is highly secure because it uses cryptography and because it's decentralized, so you have no single point of failure, as we say in IT jargon. Therefore, it's tamper-proof. When the information is added to the blockchain, it's very difficult to alter it. And information added to the blockchain is time-stamped, which is interesting for traceability. Another feature that is interesting for traceability is the fact that the transactions or the blocks of transactions are linked to each other, and we'll go deeper into that with Enrico. And finally, the notion of automation is also very important. There's the possibility to use what we call smart contracts, which are computer programs that self-execute and that make it possible to automate processes. But let me go to the substance of the publication. What I try to do is to explain what are the various opportunities that the technology can open and how it can make international trade more efficient, how it could deeply impact the wider trade ecosystem. I give a number of examples in the publication that I won't be able to give in this very short presentation, so I invite you to read it. But what we see is that it's the key features that I've just mentioned could have a major impact on international trade. First, it could be a possible game changer when it comes to the digitalization of processes. One area is trade finance. Traditional trade finance, especially letters of credit, are very labor, paper intensive. Blockchain makes it possible to digitalize not only the information or the payment, but the transaction itself. There was a live transaction actually conducted in May 2018 by HSBC that showed that the process using a blockchain could be reduced from 7 to 10 days to 24 hours. And we also see the emergence of a number of supply chain platforms. I don't want to spend more time on that because we have a whole session on trade finance and there will be some use cases presented and some supply chain finance platforms that will be presented. But what we can see is that in terms of trade finance, it does have an interesting potential. I then dive into trade facilitation, border procedures. What can blockchain do to facilitate border procedures? And I've listed here a number of areas that I cover in more in detail in the publication. It can help national interagency cooperation. Certification will have a presentation by Nico on phytosanitary certificates. Here, blockchain can be a powerful tool for certification and licensing. And also in areas for issues related to customs, clearance of goods, revenue collection with the use of smart contracts, post-clearance audits where you can use smart contracts to screen documents on the use of predefined criteria, and compliance management, because it makes it easier to track the provenance of products, and so therefore you can assess the compliance with, let's say, preferential treatment under foreign trade agreements. So I go over these different elements in my publication, and then discuss what it can do to facilitate certain cross-border G2G processes, which is actually more complex in a way. And one interesting project that is being carried out concerns mutual recognition agreements for authorized economic operator. And I believe that Luc de Blic from the WCO will mention it in his presentation. So it has the potential to facilitate border procedures, but there are important challenges that have to be overcome. I list them here very briefly, but I go in more detail into them at the end of the publication. Besides trade finance, border procedures, another area where things are moving extremely fast and where we see a lot of work being done to try and digitalize trade is transportation and logistics. The emergence of global trade platforms that try to connect all the different actors along the supply chain and try to digitalize trade. And we'll have here again a presentation of the TradeLens platform in one of the sessions this morning. Now, if these projects actually succeed, blockchain could well become, or could well be, the biggest disruptor to the transportation logistics sector since the invention of the container. But there are a number of prerequisites, I would say, or challenges that need to be overcome. First, you need to make sure that all steps are actually digitalized, so not only transportation and logistics, but also, as I said, trade finance and border procedures. And there are a number of challenges, technical regulatory challenges, that also deserve our attention if we want to make sure that the technology works to its full potential. I then look at what blockchain could do for services and whether it could give rise to a new generation of services. And I focused on three main areas: financial services, mainly cross-border payments, insurance, where the use of smart contracts can be extremely useful, and e-commerce. I think in the financial sector, while we probably won't see a complete overhaul of the financial landscape, blockchain could well become a future infrastructure of the services industry, and we actually see some big companies already using it, some real-life applications. And when you think about smart contracts and the possibility they have to automate processes, in a way, blockchain could be to the services sector what robots have been to manufacturing in terms of automation. So there's a very interesting potential there. Interesting potential as well in terms of intellectual property rights. It could help to administer IP rights in a more efficient and transparent way and help fight counterfeits. And you have an array of companies being established to allow right holders to store their digital work, for example, or to track products and ensure that they are authentic. It could also help with the management of IP rights. A famous UK artist, Imogen Heap, has put, for example, two of her songs on a blockchain, and a user can then download the song or listen to it using via a smart contract, and payment is done automatically to all the right holders. So in using her words, blockchain could help musicians make money again. It could facilitate the management of IP rights. And we could also maybe see the emergence of global IP chains. Here it's parallel to global value chains. While IP rights remain territorial in nature, but blockchain has the potential to break silos and actually to overcome the territorial nature of IP rights. So I discussed that as well in the publication. And finally, I look at government procurement processes and how blockchain could help to enhance efficiency and fight fraud. But here again, it's very important to weigh the costs and benefits. A number of countries already have well-established e-government procurement systems, and therefore one has to make sure that it makes sense to move to a blockchain. So blockchain opens a world of opportunities, and I go over a number of horizontal opportunities in terms of traceability, enhancing trust and transparency in value chains, because it allows to track provenance, as I said, to prove authenticity of products. It can prove ethical claims, fair trading practices, and I give a number of examples in the publication of projects that have been put in place to provide traceability of products along the supply chain. Trade cost reductions, especially coordination verification costs, are likely to fall greatly with the use of blockchain. And this could be an interesting opportunity for SMEs, or MSMEs as we say at the WTO, micro, small and medium-sized enterprises, and small producers from developing countries. The DG mentioned that it could allow them to build a digital identity or credit history. Yes, so it can be very powerful as for them as users, but it's provided they have the technical knowledge also to use the technology and have adequate internet access, and the digital divide is a major issue. However, success is not a given. There are a number of challenges that need to be overcome, and I go over these challenges in detail in my publication. First, technological challenges here. In terms of scalability energy debate, I know there are a lot of talks about that in the press, but I think it's important to bear in mind that this is an issue for some blockchains like Bitcoin or Ethereum, not as much for permission blockchains or for the more recent distributed ledger technologies like IOTA, for example. They don't have the same issues when it comes to scalability. I also discussed security issues. Yes, it's a highly secure technology, but there's nothing like 100% security, perfect security. There's still a possibility of a 51% attack, and quantum computing, there are some issues. But very importantly, there are interoperability challenges, and I think this is something that deserves the attention of regulators. Technical interoperability, here it's more for the IT community to work on it. Different blockchains that do not talk to each other, the ones built on Ethereum versus the ones built on Hyperledger, for example. But also in terms of the semantics, the data models, and process standardization, these are issues that need to be addressed as a manifest, the same thing as a bill of lading. We need to speak the same language. And finally, legal issues. The question of the validity of blockchain transactions is key if we want the technology to work to its full potential. I discuss the question of applicable law and liability framework, who has liability at each stage of the process, issues related to data localization and privacy issues. And I finish with a discussion on governance. Should we think about a governance along the lines, for example, of the internet governance system to try and advance thinking on these issues? So what are the key takeaways from the publication? First, what is clear is that we're dealing with a fast-changing environment. The private sector is moving ahead at full speed, so it's very important that regulators keep a close eye on what's happening. Second, it's a technology that can create very interesting opportunity. It opens huge opportunities to digitalize transactions. In a way, it's a sort of internet of transactions. But it's not a panacea. It's not suited to all situations. It's well suited when you have multiple actors that require trust and transparency. But if it's not the case, then it may be counterproductive and maybe a barrier. And it's only a tool, so it requires a conducive ecosystem. I've already mentioned the question of interoperability. And there's also the need for a conducive regulatory framework to make sure, as I said, that blockchain transactions, e-signatures, and e-documents are recognized. So what I say in the publication is that, in my view, there is a need for collective solutions. We see that the private sector is getting organized. Actually, they've created a number of consortia to develop platforms and some to develop standards as well. And I call that collaborative competition in the publication. But I think we need to go beyond that. There is a need for a dialogue with all stakeholders along the supply chain and a need really for a multi-stakeholder governance system to develop collective solutions that address existing challenges while providing the flexibility for the technology to thrive. So this is, in a nutshell, what the technology is, what the publication is about. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Emmanuel, for a very succinct and yet comprehensive review of your publication. I would like to let everyone know that their PDF version of the publication is available online as we speak. If you go to wto.org, you'll be able to download the full publication.